I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Anthony Bourdain, the award-winning chef, food writer, world traveler, has died. He was 61 years old. CNN, where Bourdain worked on a show, Parts Unknown, confirmed that the cause of death was suicide. This is pretty rough news for a lot of people, including many of us here in our newsroom, who greatly admired Bourdain. Just last weekend, I followed his advice and slipped into a Popeyes in Boston for a fried chicken fix. Before we go any further here, I just want to remind all of you to keep in mind how important it is to talk to your friends and loved ones about how they're doing, how you're doing, and that help is always just a phone call away. Anthony Bourdain was a real adventurer. If you watched his food show, you already know that he visited and ate his way into all kinds of corners of the world. Even part-time viewers will remember that Parts Unknown episode he filmed in 2016 in Vietnam, the one where Bourdain and President Obama met at a local noodle restaurant. A couple of years before that, Bourdain filmed another episode in Vietnam. Huynh Quy Duc worked with him on that one. Duc is a journalist based in Hoi An, Vietnam. When we reached him today, he told us he was devastated to hear the news about Bourdain.
He went around the world. He carried the world on his shoulders and explored it that way. And his show was not about food or cooking. His show was really about the culture and civilizations of the places he saw. And he was real. He could be in a high-class sushi place in Tokyo or in plastic stools in the markets of Vietnam. Mm. But he was real with all of it. And that was the most astounding thing about him.
And he was able to tie all of that culture into the news. I mean, he became a journalist from being a chef. I vividly remember the Vietnam episode. You guys seem to really get along quite well. Tell us about your experience showing him your hometown. Any favorite stories?
It was difficult because I knew he was busy with the show and I kept my distance. I felt he was a bit shy as well. And, you know, a lot of people thought that we would just dive into a bottle of whiskey and, and get really drunk. But no, it was very civilized. We ate and we talked, and I was in shock that he knew so much already about the Vietnamese food and all that, and that he just loved it with his whole heart. Even though this is my hometown, my family's hometown, he knew about the food. He knew exactly what went in. He asked the questions, and he explained it much better than I could have ever explained it. It was intimidating to be with such a knowledgeable person, but he was for real.
You've called Anthony Bourdain an ambassador for Vietnam. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, particularly since the episode with President Obama, people know him. And he took Mr. Obama to a street restaurant. He took one of our favorite noodles and made it big. But he's always talked about his love for Vietnam. Everybody remembers that. I'm actually in a town in central Vietnam in Hoi An, and he told me this is his favorite town, and he would have moved here, go to the river, that he'd go to the beach, roll around in motorcycle or scooter, but he had started a family, had a daughter, so he couldn't do it, and he said he'd always regret that he didn't do it, and that really struck me. He goes around the world talking about Vietnam, talking about the food of Vietnam, the people, and how he fell in love with it, how he just was so natural here. A lot of my friends have seen episodes where he talks about Vietnam, and they end up coming to Vietnam. Somebody just wrote to me and said, I came and lived here because I saw something he said about Vietnam.
Wow.
I mean, people just love him, and he's just the great ambassador.
Did his outsider perspective teach you something you didn't know about your hometown or about Vietnam?
Yes, he could look at the past and look at the future, where I'm stuck in the past and the history that was fairly sad with the war and all that. But he looked at the future, the young people, and saw that there was hope, saw that there was a chance that they could have a better life. He knew what he was doing. He did his research, and he didn't put on any airs. I was embarrassed to be in the markets of Vietnam with him because I wanted him to have a good setting for himself and to have good food. And what if the food was not good? But he seemed to have loved it. And I said, well, this is a bowl of noodle that we couldn't take a date out because it's so hot and spicy. And he said, well, that's the killer for me. If my date doesn't want to eat this, well, it's the end of the relationship. you know, it's sad because we talked about his future plans and he was trying to do a food court in New York. He was thinking about it and he was working on it. And then now with this news, you know, he has these demons and now he's gone. I'm in shock. I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know what was hounding him. Duke, what do you think Anthony Bourdain's influence will be on how we write about food and travel, how we tell those stories?
I think for me, to be irreverent, but to be real. I mean, he knew how to maneuver that irreverence, sort of distance himself in some ways, but then to also be immersed in it and to really try everything, not be afraid of anything, and write honestly about it. He's a master at that. I think that's a great lesson.
I know a lot of people who loved Bourdain's work. I'm hoping that you remember a moment that you spent with Bourdain that you'll always keep in your mind as kind of a summation of who he was.
There are times because, you know, he's such a big personality that you have expectation because you see him in the TV episodes and he's funny and he's talkative. But when you find the man and he's such a calm presence, he's not manic. He watches everything and he knows exactly when to be himself in front of people and when to step back and be quiet that way. I feel honored in the way to see that other part, to see him quietly standing in the corner, not being the big Anthony Bourdain personality. I just posted something on Facebook and people everywhere are responding to this from all walks of life. He just touches people.
I guess it's a lesson in how many of us should be doing our work, perhaps.
Of course, and how we should pay attention to detect any signs at all amongst loved ones, amongst others, that there's something not quite right, and watch it in ourselves as well. We don't know what people are struggling with, and it's always too late.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. Journalist Nguyen Quy Duc, who worked with Anthony Bourdain in Vietnam. Thanks very much, Duc.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Anthony Bourdain is being remembered today as someone who made foreign cultures and food less foreign for an American audience. He made distant people and parts of the globe seem closer, but he also tried to bridge divides within America. Maybe you saw Bourdain's recent Parts Unknown episode on West Virginia. Former coal miner Nick Mullins was interviewed by Bourdain for that episode.
I think that he really did just want to make sure that he didn't portray Appalachians as a lot of people already had. He didn't want to come in with preconceived notions and kind of do the hillbilly stereotypes. He really wanted to know who West Virginians and Appalachians were, and he did an excellent job of that.
Mullins sat down for coffee with Bourdain last fall while he was filming not far from where Mullins grew up. The episode also featured Bourdain eating bear meat in a coal mine, testing out an automatic gun, and feasting on a locally sourced meal at a West Virginia farm. Mullins says that even in his own country, Bourdain approached the unfamiliar with an open mind and with empathy.
I mean, he up front admitted that, you know, he was from New York. You know, he stands on the left. And knowing that, I think he definitely was working and did a great job of trying to bridge those divides, something that, you know, a lot of us have been trying to do for a while now.
Mullins says Bourdain did that by listening.
And he came in very humble, and that was worth its weight in gold to the people of Appalachia.
Humble, yeah. We mentioned earlier the Parts Unknown episode in Vietnam that featured President Obama. I'll never forget this detail. After his dinner with the president at that noodle joint in Hanoi, Bourdain reportedly was touched that Obama asked whether his TV crew had eaten. The fact that Bourdain picked up on that, it showed that in the often self-centered world of television, there are still big personalities out there who are considerate to their staff. And one more thing, this has been a week of sadness with reminders that we don't always know the troubles even our closest friends sometimes are going through. Please talk it over with others. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. And if you'd like to learn more about the warning signs and how to get in touch with people who can help, you can visit our Facebook page. Just search for the world.